awesome sponsors, including Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions, in case your tractor hits a cow. It's the TagCast Podcast.
Wait.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast Podcast with Terry and Gatch. The TagCast Podcast starts right now.
So 28 weeks later. Thanks for listening. See ya.
Just kidding. My name is Terry Guile, and this is episode 428 of the TagCast Podcast. And thanks for listening. Across the desk is my co-host,
Gatchalapagola Pie.
Wow, where has he been? I haven't heard the Gatchalapagolas for a while.
He's been around, hiding. I lock him in the attic.
The Gatch took his place for a while.
Yeah.
The D is not silent.
You seen these movies?
Yeah.
It's 28 days later and then weeks later, right?
Yeah.
And then, but I always get them confused with another movie.
28 days?
Yeah,
that's Sandra it. Sandra Bullock in rehab for 28 days because she's an alkie and she falls out of a tree.
I've never seen that one.
Oh.
I thought there was another
Damn
horror
it.
One that was kind of like 28 weeks or maybe it is the Sandra Bullock one and I always...
I've heard a bit.
These are about...
Zombies.
No, the one I'm thinking of is about vampires.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, the only two I know that are 28 days and 28 days later and 28 weeks later, there's a 28 days that is a Sandra Bullock kind of a chick
yeah.
flick.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't have to do with, what's the one where, they're, you know, the Alaskan when it's 24 hours of darkness, and so the vampires go up there,
I don't
and
think
so they
so.
Can just, Dude, it is a creepy movie.
I haven't seen a lot of vampire movies just because when I see that it's about a vampire, I kind of go, eh. But I'm open to watch it if it's cool.
Dude, it was...
Do you remember
it
what it's
a,
called?
I'm
gonna,
no.
Gonna Google it?
Yeah.
Google-itastic.
Yeah, I don't even know what to Google for it, though. Let's
vampire
see.
Alaska movie.
Vampire
All right.
Alaska movie.
You guys, don't talk
you
about Alaska.
Work, you should work for Cha-Cha.
I just auto-filled... I just auto-filled for you vocally. Okay, so yeah, it's Monday. The sun is out, unless it's still 4 a.m. Then, of course, if the sun's not out. But God, it was hot yesterday. It was like 85 degrees, a little bit windy. But, man, it was a nice weekend. All right.
30 days of night.
Oh, okay, that's like 28 days. So, yeah, 30 days of night. Now, I almost watched that, and then I found out it was a vampire movie.
Dude,
I didn't watch it.
It's not
I'll
your typical vampire. It's
cool.
Not Twilight or Interview.
With a vampire.
Dude, these are like, you know.
Spooky.
These are serious vampires. I mean, they go up to Alaska to live where it's 24 hours of darkness, so they can just be, you know, there's a lot of wildlife up there, too.
They could always just chase the timeline, too, or just always dark.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I didn't mind these 28 weeks later and 28 days later. It was basically their hold up in a mall, you know, trying to shoot the zombies. It's pre-Walking Dead, so it's kind of like The Walking Dead, basically. But
I vaguely remember them.
I think I have the first one on VHS.
Oh, wow.
Which I picked up at, like, a garage sale.
I was just going to say, that's where, you know, you could go to garage sales as we were talking about how they were prejudiced against men.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can always find some sun-baked... VHS tapes in there.
Yeah, I just threw away a box of probably 70 or 80 VHS.
What? Threw them away?
They were water damaged.
Oh.
Yeah, in the car wash. But they were home recorded ones, which wouldn't track correctly anyway. That's why I never watched them. Isn't it weird how you record a video and then just like a few months later, even if you play it on the same VCR, it won't track right?
Yeah, it's like you just spend a half an hour tracking it.
Yeah, and then you get it tracked and then it goes...
Yeah,
and then it start coming across, and you know,
the show's over.
I'm a miser. I'm always recorded on ELP or SLP, super long play, to where I can fit 15 movies on one tape.
Yeah.
And that's when they really play shitty. And then I started recording some movies just on regular play, to where you fit one movie on one tape. It's like, fuck that. If I'm going to pirate them, I'm going to do it shittily.
Yeah.
Here's the plot summary of 30 Days of Night.
Jared Leto in it?
After an Alaskan town is plunged into darkness for a month as it is attacked by a bloodthirsty gang of vampires.
See, now that makes it sound a little corny when they say a bloodthirsty gang of vampires. It was like a gang of teenagers chasing me down the street.
But the real thing
I'll check it out.
That I enjoyed was the costumed vampires. They weren't like, you know, they had like it teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like real pointy.
Yeah.
Just like nothing good, but like just tearing flesh.
Yeah. Not good for eating popcorn.
No, they wouldn't be. But you wouldn't get the kernel stuck in your teeth, though, ever.
Probably not, because it was just their razor sharp and it just annihilates the whole kernel.
Yeah.
The kernel has been annihilated.
Well, depending upon how much a vampire salivates, I've never heard anything about the myth of how much they salivate.
Now, that's a good question, because you'd think they would, especially if they saw a fine young candidate.
To keep the blood like going down the trachea,
well, you know,
smoothly, you know, so the popcorn would probably just melt in their mouth.
Yep.
If it was a good type of popcorn.
It'd be like M&M's to them.
Yeah.
It melts in your mouth, not in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that saying? They don't say that anymore.
They don't, because it's not true. Have you ever held M&M's on a hot day?
They melt in your hand.
Yeah, you'll get coloring on your hand.
Yeah, but I think their point was they won't be in your hand long enough to melt because they're so good.
Oh, they were going with that. Yeah. Oh, I never... Oh.
It'd be funny if you called him and you're like, okay, my brother got a pack of M&M's and we had to share, so he just gave me two handfuls. And I'm sitting there eating like two at a time, enjoying my M&M's, sitting on a park bench in the sun.
Uh-huh.
And it says, M&M's, they don't melt in your hand, they melt in your mouth. I was like, actually, I have to chew them up when they're in my mouth.
And they are.
And when they're in my hands, they just fucking melt.
They do.
So that's probably why they dropped that slogan, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Never thought about that.
You know what doesn't sog in your hand, though?
Captain Crunch?
You're right.
Even in milk. I can soak my Captain Crunch for 20 minutes, and it still tears the roof of my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
God damn that shit.
You got to get the Crunch Berries.
Yep.
Dude, you know what would be good is get a raspberry milkshake. And I like if you use like Cocoa Puffs, mm-hmm. if you crush them up, you use it for like malt powder.
Oh, yeah.
And a chocolate shake. It makes it really good. What about like a Crunch Berry crunched up in like a raspberry milkshake to make it malty?
Man, that would be good. I had some ice cream over the weekend because it was so hot. I bought a couple pints, like one pint a day.
Wow.
Just hitting the hard stuff with that vanilla bean.
Mm-hmm.
Lock Mead from Dairy Mart. Good shit, mm-hmm. man.
And you live close to Dairy Mart, so...
I'll just cruise over there.
Yeah, it's not melted by the time you get home.
Oh, it's perfect. I rode my bike over there, and by the time I got home, it was just melted enough to where you could easily scrape the inside of it.
Yeah.
It just kind of rolls up. Yeah, we did let's see, I think we were talking about the weekend before we started. I forgot. We took possession of our recent acquisition, which we've owned for a couple of months now, but just didn't ever take possession of it because...
Huh.
The camper and the truck that my parents aired to me, it's pretty awesome. They were real anal about it, about making sure they gave us a good tutorial on how to raise and lower it. Because speaking of vampires in Alaska, it's an Alaskan camp trailer.
Nice.
It raises, it lowers. That's their little, it's in quotes right below it. The Alaskan, it raises, it lowers. So...
That's they ain't shitting your grandma.
No, that's what it does. You can pump it up, and then you lower it back down when you're driving.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, it kind of just looks like a canopy when it's on. And then you raise it up, and then it's trippy because it raises up above the cab, and then you fold the walls up, and you got a little loft up there to sleep in above the cab. Like a regular over cab camper.
Uh-huh.
But when it's pumped, when it's all down... It's only about 5 inches, maybe 6 inches thick.
Yeah, you know, low, so and then, you know, you get to your
cuts
spot.
Cuts down the wind resistance.
You're flip-flop.
Yep, so they made us go through the thing.
It's kind of like a little box.
And you know how parents can be, even when I am 45 and they're 70. They're like, okay, we need you guys to go through the whole thing and show us you can do it. And
be careful, because you guys probably end up getting in a fight, because we always get in an argument about it, because it takes teamwork, you know, because it's kind of old and it works great, but when you pump it up, you have to make sure that it pumps up evenly so it doesn't.
You got to have somebody man on the other side.
Yeah, so you have someone go inside and kind of push up with their back, because you got to kind of bend over to get in there. And so I'm pumping, she's pushing, and we didn't get in a fight. We're like, we're not 70 yet, so we don't fight over everything. And I go, we do get in arguments about...
We haven't got bored with getting along yet.
We do. Because
that's when couples start, like, getting into that bickering that is like Raymond.
I think they
Ray Romano's folks, you know, they kind of like bicker just for fun.
Yeah, I think that's where my grandparents were. And you get to a point where... You might not like your wife so much anymore, but you love her to death, and you'll never want to be with anyone else just because you know what to say, and you know what to do, and you know the wrong thing to say when you want to have a little fun once in a while.
No, exactly, right? You know how to poke without awaking too much of the beast.
Yeah, it's like you could poke them in the eye, but not poke their eyes out.
Yeah.
Just a little, ow!
You can skin the cat, but you don't have to...
Fucker!
Or wait, shear the sheep, but you don't have to skin it.
There's one way to skin a cat, and that's all.
Really?
I'm dispelling the myth that there's more than one way.
All right, which one way is that?
I'm not going to tell.
Oh.
It's just whatever way you do it, but I'm just saying, if you're a cat skinner, you should just...
I was just thinking dynamite.
You should just stick to the one way. That skins them? Dynamite up the butthole?
Yeah, and then, I mean, you're not going to keep the skin, but it takes your skin off.
Why would anyone really want to skin a cat?
I don't know, and where did that saying come from? I wonder what
where's our research person?
Origin of,
that phrase.
Yeah.
Or skinning cats.
Yeah.
It sounds like a dastardly thing to do.
It does. It would have to be a time when there was a lot of skinning cats going on, and like, there was a lot of arguments over ways, and there was like a group of people going, no, this is the way you do it. And then one guy finally goes, look, we can all agree there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Right. And you can kill two birds with one stone. Everything was so mean against animals. PETA would be going crazy back then. You can't say that.
Yeah.
But yeah, speaking of
fish in a barrel.
Parents thinking that you're stupid or just not as smart as you should be because you're a grown up and they're like, okay, this is how you do it.
They like to still be the parent.
So we did it, and then we brought it back down, and they're like, all right, you guys did really good. And then we're like, hey, this weekend, if it's nice like it's supposed to be, we'll come out here and we'll go down on the river because they have like 12 acres down there. We'll just drive down on the river and camp out and test it out to where if we forgot anything or something doesn't work, we're still kind of at home, you know? So we came back down there the next day, and Donna comes out. That's my stepmom. She comes out with a piece of paper, a print off from the computer, and I was like, what's this? And she's like, oh, it's instructions on how to pump it up and raise it down. I was like, oh, you mean the things that you told us yesterday? And she's like, in case I just have a momentary fucking total brain loss where I don't even remember anything. I go, thanks, because that happens sometimes. And so we just stuck it in the drawer in case we ever forget what to do. Mm-hmm.
You know where you should have put it is somewhere inside the camper when it was up.
So you can't get to it.
Uh-huh.
Yep, so then I took it home, washed it up at the car wash. Brownsville Car Wash, by the way. That's where I washed it.
Right on.
Yeah, that washed it right up. It had been setting. I mean, it was covered, but there's still like a couple inches.
You're coming into the busy season coming up here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How often do you go through a barrel? What's that, a 10-gallon? 25-gallon?
Oh, we get 5-gallon buckets of the soap.
And that's a big 5-gallon drum?
No, we have a 55-gallon drum that my dad...
Okay, that's what... I know you probably mix that with water or whatever, right?
Well, yeah. We got that concentrated soap. Yeah.
Yeah, so how often do you go through a 55-gallon drum of soapage?
Well, like I said, we really only buy 5 gallons.
Well, I mean, I mean...
So 5 gallons is just like a regular size.
Oh, 5 gallons, how many of those? You probably get more than one 55-gallon drum?
I think we only go... It's a minimal amount. You'd be amazed. We only go through like maybe 2 in a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it's really concentrated. And it's like $65 for 5 gallons.
Wow.
It's expensive soap.
But it's cherry.
Well, the soap is actually not, but the foaming brushes is a different stuff, and that stuff's even more expensive, but we use even less of that because that has a siphon system that goes into a holding tank reservoir to where when it gets low, it's got like a float, like a toilet does. Mm-hmm. So when the tank gets low, it automatically turns on. Then it's got this siphon tube on it to where fresh water comes from the water and it siphons in the correct amount of solution.
Okay.
So, that stuff is, I think that's like $70 for 5 gallons.
Wow. Because
it's super foamy, super sudsy, and cherry scented.
You only probably use a couple few drops every wash if somebody.
Some people don't even use it because they don't want to take the chance of scratching their paint with a brush or something, or or they just want a quick. A lot of people that keep their cars clean, relatively, they'll get a little dust buildup and they'll just spray it off for 5 minutes. So, but that's pretty cool on a hot day like we had this weekend. You know, people will come in, not nonstop, but they'll just come in and spend $1.50 real quick and spray their car off. But when
now is that stuff safe to use on humans?
Like if
I wanted to go in and like just take that brush to detangle my hair and get some little suds in there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty. I don't know. I'll have to look on the on the label to see. And then when I find out, I'm probably going to have to put not for human use. The only thing it says is do not use foaming brushes on your motor, because then that cakes the motor with like grease, and then someone comes along and tries to wash their car and they just smear grease all over their car. Also, anybody that goes there, I do this just because it's happened to me before. Sometimes someone will like scrub the bottom of their wheel well or something with the brush and like leave rocks in it.
Yeah.
And so I always like take the sprayer and spray the brush out before I let it go.
The pressure sprayer?
Yeah, because I spray it off with water first, get all the dust off, and then turn on the foaming brush. But before I turn it on, I spray it out to make sure
you
don't mud it.
Yeah, you want to check it.
Yeah, because you could have rocks and just scratch your paint.
You know what I like to do is I like to go to car washes, not the Brownsville one, but I like to go to other ones, and I'll put bacon in the brushes, just hide it in there.
Sort of smear grease all over the car?
That's awesome. Grease that does not easily remove.
I do that to all the rival car washes in the area. It's amazing how many people come to the Brownsville car wash and say, I can't believe you don't have bacon in your brushes. It's the only place around here that does it. I got an overflow.
You got a bunch of bacon packages in your trash can over there.
I eat a lot of bacon. That's all I can say. I eat a lot of bacon. So, yeah, in case anyone didn't hear Friday's show, you're a dick. No, just kidding. I know you can't listen to all of them. This might be your first episode, and maybe you love metal, and maybe you live under a rock and didn't know that Jeff Hanneman from Slayer died just a few days ago. Which, you know, the day that we recorded that show for Friday's show was actually the day that he died, and I don't think it really set in yet.
Yeah.
Because I was bummed. But over the weekend, I really got kind of bummed and, like, listened to Slayer for, like, 4 hours and watched a bunch of videos and did not shed a tear. But I think I did when Kurt Cobain died. I think I cried a little bit when Kurt Cobain died, which is weird because I was only into Nirvana for, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
Or maybe four. I've been listening to Slayer for 20 years. 20 years. Wait.
Flames came over
30 years. Yeah. Excuse me. 30 years. Yeah.
Came over on Saturday. He hadn't even heard the news. I had to break it to him.
Dude, some people fucking get sad. They're like, what?
Yeah.
But yeah.
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 I read a story. He actually lived in a weird place. It's not weird, but it's called Hemet, California. Mm-hmm. And did you know he was a Grammy-winning guitarist?
No, I didn't.
Well, that's what it says here.
He was so laid back and not in the limelight as opposed to Carrie King. Yep. So, I mean, he was... he was the quiet Wilbury.
Yep, and that's why I didn't know a lot of the stuff that I read in this recent article after he passed away. Makes it even more sad. He's survived by his wife, Kathy.
Yeah.
And he has a sister named Kathy Weird. Weird, too.
Ooh.
He's married to the same name as his sister. That's kind of
weird.
Ooh,
that is weird.
And his brothers, Michael and Larry, said that he will be sorely missed. He was heavily influenced by punk music growing up. He contributed lyrical and musical material to every Slayer album since the group's.
Yeah, I heard he was writing new songs.
I'm sure he was.
Which is always the thing. I mean, you always hear like Kurt Cobain, he was thinking up this brilliant new like angle to take music. You heard it of John Lennon. He was really starting to enjoy like writing music and recording, and that makes it just all the more heart-wrenching, you know, it does.
Who knows? You know, it just makes you wonder, what would he have came up with?
Kurt Cobain was around, they were around for 7 years, right, at tops.
Yeah,
from beginning to end. But like, if you count commercial success, it's like three.
Yeah.
From Nevermind.
91 to 94.
Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, who knows in the next 20 years? Of course, they always say, you don't be careful what you wish for, because you know you could have been putting yourself through 20 years of Jimi Hendrix playing with Elton John.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a bummer, and I saw some stuff from Gary Holt saying, you know, he's been trying to honor him all this time, and now if he takes his place, he will continue to try to honor, you know, the guy that he's taken his place. But I found out
will he make it a point to, like, kill spiders?
Maybe. I wonder. What does that matter? To kill spiders?
Yeah, so the spiders never have a chance to bite someone.
Oh, yeah, okay, because I keep looking over that fucking fake, weird-looking one that's in your thing right there. You can't. Oh, what is that made out of?
I think it's like macrame wire or something.
Dude, it's scaring me as I read this story.
It is.
So, yeah, Hanneman co-wrote the Slayer songs Raining Blood, War Ensemble, South of Heaven, Seasons in the Abyss, and Angel of Death, which are all played at almost every live Slayer show because those are all staples, you know? They won their first Grammy in 2006 for Best Metal Performance for Eyes of the Insane, and then the next year they won the same award, joining Metallica as the only band to win that category in consecutive years. So that's pretty cool. I don't know why they quoted him, but remember Andrew WK?
Yeah.
He was quoted as saying that Jeff Hanneman will always be a metal god. I don't know why they asked him, but and then when they ask him, he says something that everybody already knows.
I think he tweeted it.
Oh, True Master, yeah, because there's a hashtag party for Slayer after.
I think he tweeted it, and then, you know.
I like saying this, too, even though it's sad. Hanneman withdrew from touring in 2011 after he contracted necrotizing fasciitis. It's a quickly progressing infection that eats away at the flesh from deep layers of the skin. Tom Araya said last year that Hanneman had recovered, but lead and rhythm guitarist Kerry King said 3 months ago continuing health problems kept Hanneman from working, but it was not.
Well, for sure. I think they would have probably, like, worked around, you know, if it would have been, like, fall, maybe they would have put off the tour to let him get healthy and stuff.
Yeah, if he was coming around, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, Kerry King is obviously the very... the business manager, as far as the four of them.
And I think that his, one of his kind of adages or whatever you say, his ways of being is like, shit or get off the pot. We got to do this. It doesn't matter how it's done. Which is sometimes to be
a successful
business.
I'm not
going
to say that that's a bad angle to play.
It can be cold if it's your friends, you know, but.
It can be. Yeah, for sure.
Some people choose to say, look, there's friends and then there's business. And if you can't handle being both, then. You're not going on the tour.
You can't handle the truth.
Then you're not going on the tour this time, buddy. Sorry, we got this other guy who's going to fill in for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it also says here at the end that it's not immediately confirmed or known if the skin ailment was connected to his liver failure.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to do an autopsy either, they said. They didn't know if one was going to be scheduled.
They should. I heard that the Westboro Baptist Church was going to, what do you call it? Protest at his funeral.
Yeah.
Because he's Satan or something.
Dude, there's actually more people now turn out to protest the Westboro Baptist group and, like, threaten them than actually are in that little squad of people.
Yeah.
Just, what, like 20 people or something?
Someone needs to take care of those people, though.
I don't know. But speaking of Twitter, have you,
tweet.
You ever watched Jon Stewart? No, not really.
Not a lot. I used to watch it more, yeah. I don't sit down and watch it every time, but it's very witty.
Yeah, I watch it on Hulu because it's just, you know, that's how I watch most of my TV is on Hulu.
Even though I like Jon Stewart, I think the reason I don't care about watching it is because it's political.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
They make some good points with their stories. I mean, you got to understand that it's all liberal biased, but I mean, there's some good stories to be had. Like the other day they had one on. They basically had a bunch of people come on and just say how many days it's been since they've been waiting for VA benefits, you know, because one guy came in and he went on TV, got press, and it got taken care of. All of a sudden, they found his paperwork. It got taken care of the next day.
Whoa.
So their thing was, well, let's just have as many people come on and say their name and how long it's been. And they'll have to take care of it.
That didn't work.
But the thing was, is the other day he said something about the Donald, and he said,
"The Donald, you're fired."
Yeah, he's showing the Donald up there in the corner, and he says, "And of course, we all know that Donald Trump's given name is Donald Von Fuckface or something like that. And John Stewart's like, that's all over Twitter. I hope. And so it did, you know. I mean, the power of Twitter, that thing blew up. And so Donald was replying, saying, John Stewart, Stewart's not even your real name. Why you got to be ashamed of your last name? You're a hack. You're no talent.
I think the
And then John Stewart said, it looks like we might have hit a Von Nervstick. A fuck face, a clown face Von Nervstick. Clown face Von Fuckstick is what I think he said his given name was.
I want to be in a
Which
tweet
is bold.
Fight. Yeah, it is. I want to be in a tweet fight. I wonder if I called out some big person if they would tweet fight me just by egging them on. Like Amanda Bynes. What's her fucking deal?
I don't know.
Now, I didn't know who she was, and I'd been seeing all these things.
I don't still know.
She was in Easy A, I guess, that movie, and she was in, like, What I Like About You with
What I Like About You!
Jenny Garth. It was a series or something. But anyway, so, like, I'd see the pictures, and she looks all twacked out. She, like, shaved part of her head. She was tweeting she was tweeting part of her topless pictures of herself on Twitter the other night.
Mm-hmm.
But you couldn't see her nipples or anything, which was kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But, so she's looking all weird and, like, posting these things, rawr, this weird little tweets and stuff. And then I guess Jenny McCarthy tweeted, she said, at Amanda Bynes, you need help, I'm worried about you or whatever. And Amanda Bynes is all, who the fuck are you? Aren't you like 50? I'm like 27. And fucking mind your own business, you know, I don't even know you. And you're ugly. And she's like, and then they like apologize to each other. It was just funny though, these tweet fights, and then they come up on these trending websites of all what's big in the news right now is so and so tweeted, and then so and so got mad at their tweet, and then they tweeted back, and then their tweet fight.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I'll go to like the Yahoo page and I'll click on the what's trending, the top 10 things, and I'll be like, it's weird because it's always celebrity things. And
it's like a really gay version of a street fight, but they call it a tweet. It's a tweet. I got in a tweet fight last night. It was crazy.
Tweet fight.
Like I tweeted some shit about Mac Chase, and then he retweeted it, and then Chris Castles got mad, and we had a tweet fight.
Maybe, yeah, you could have a staged tweet fight.
Oh, you know they're all staged.
Publish them in a book.
Staged tweet fights.
Well, yeah. Well, don't tell anybody.
Oh, we could make a video game called Tweet Fighter.
Tweet Fighter!
And Tweet Fighter 2. You just go on there and you just tweet shit that's about your mom. Xbox Live. Yeah, your mom's fucking stupid, man.
That's funny.
There was some Satan story that I thought was kind of connected to the Slayer death. I thought was kind of cool. A Colorado couple, just this weekend, said that I take that back. It was over the summer. It was a long time ago, but I had to grab this story. A Colorado couple said they believe whoever cut down their Vote Satan poster from their yard was attacking their Satanist religious beliefs. It was during the campaign time when everybody had their signs out.
Yeah.
And they had like a red, white, and blue thing with some banners, and then it said Vote Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because the guy's name is Luigi. Ah, Luigi and Angie Bellaviste of Mountain View, who are members of the Church of Satan, said that the poster was one of several yard decorations celebrating their beliefs, including a blacked-out Christmas-like tree, skulls, and the number 666. I feel like we're being treated unfairly because it's not a so-called mainstream religion, said Luigi Bellaviste. I know many people who have the Virgin Mary and tons of Jesus memorabilia saying, I love Jesus, and what's the difference? His wife said, the couple want to see the case investigated as a hate crime, but a Mountain View police officer said investigators will more likely seek the charges because there was no obvious attack on the couple's religious beliefs. It was just offensive to someone that they were saying, what, vote Satan for president? Could Satan really take office?
I don't think it should be
a hate crime.
Dismissed. Well, I don't think it should be a hate crime, but I don't think it should be dismissed just because it's somebody may have been offended. Because you know, you wouldn't take that same angle if it was somebody's Christian sign, right?
That's what he said. What about the people with their Jesus, yeah. I love Jesus?
But on the other hand,
vote Satan.
You're kind of asking for it. You know, I mean, you know, You're kind of trying to push a button, aren't you? If you're putting that stuff out in your yard?
Hell yeah.
So you got what you wanted.
You know that the neighbors already know that you're a member of the First Church of Satan. And they're like, man, those people are Satanists.
It scares people.
And you're like,
you know, I mean,
dude, the pentagram on my van scares people and that don't know me because I have long hair and they don't know that I'm just this.
And you wear those dark shirts and,
look what this says on it.
Yeah. Well, you would be like, dude, there's a bunch of dead people on his shirt.
30 seconds on your shirt.
30 second shirt time.
Go, you go first.
Sickfest.
Trace.
Three. This was a great show.
Sick Daddy presents.
Domesticide, Grieving Son. Athearchists and a Plague of Hatred.
Wowie.
Yeah, and
that
let
was
me
what?
Go through the bands. There's Domesticide, man. I was just listening to some Domesticide the other day.
Plugged up like Jesus.
Plugged up like Jesus, and I put a few songs on the sickdaddyradio.com.
Nice.
I think I put Domesticide Corporation on there.
I haven't heard that forever.
And some other stuff. Yeah, and I was like, man, that was, you know, good tunes.
I got to get rid of those CDs.
And the Grieving Son.
Missed those
dude,
guys.
Those guys are awesome. But they were up in Portland. I'm going to take way more than 30 seconds because I want to give a
three
shout
minutes
out to
on your shirt.
Bands. But Grieving Son, they're not around anymore, right?
No, Alex actually moved back to Mexico City.
Yeah, and so. they were a three piece.
Yep.
And the drummer played sideways.
Yeah, and the other two dudes were brothers.
Uh huh. And they totally, I mean, if you get a chance to go and find some of their music online, maybe, I don't know, old MySpace.
Yep, MySpace.
You might be able to find these bands. And definitely, if you like metal, they were
and
really
some of
cool.
Their lyrics are actually in Spanish. And
yeah, they had a, you know, that kind of vibe too.
Yeah, and they've got a rough vocal, like death metal style, so you don't really notice at first because you can't understand what they're saying anyway.
Yeah.
He's like, ¿Cómo se llama? No, he didn't say that, but that's the only Spanish phrase I know.
Yeah, and then the athearchists, you know, I mean.
What else could be said about
frogs.
That? Yeah.
You
know, bleeding frogs!
I mean, two piece mass travel. Roadshow.
We got to tell the story of the athearchist last night to Dana's brother Brian that just got out of jail, and he didn't know that they were on an MTV episode and that they, you know, played.
Yeah, and he know those.
Oh yeah, and I showed him the video where you can see Vince Neil standing in the back. He's like, "What the fuck?" And like Dave Lombardo comes up and rocks out with him for a little bit because they go to all those shows and just.
Yeah.
He's like, "That's a fucking great idea." He goes, "How did they think of that?" I was like, "They just wanted to play all the time, so they did."
You know what made it work though is their confidence going into those kind of situations, man. Because you can't go in there like, is this okay?
They didn't care. We're doing it.
Because if you do that, people are going to, the first person's going to shut you down.
Yep. They're like, we're going to do this, and if you don't let us, then I guess we're still going
to. We'll play until the cops come. And we don't, you know, part of that is a fear of not caring if you spend a night in jail, I guess, right?
Yep, that's right. But yeah, rest in peace, Athearchist, and Grieving Son, and Domesticide, and a Plague. All bands that are not around anymore.
And a Plague of Hatred.
All those bands are not around anymore.
A Plague of Hatred,
Angie Anderson.
Mm-hmm. And Paula.
Yep. And
Rich.
Rick Thornton. And the...
Richie. His name was Richard. He worked at the Well Hall, right?
Oh, yeah. I think he did end up being in that band, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Richard. I see him every once in a while. I see him just a couple months ago down at the Oak Street Speakeasy.
All right.
But yeah, he's doing
still
some projects.
Town.
Yeah. Well, that was the longest 30 seconds on your shirt.
Heck yeah. Now we were getting about how satanic yours was.
Yeah. So I got this at the coast and it's just got like a couple boatloads of, skeletons. There's one lady with like a, or it might be a guy. I guess he's pretty buff. It looks like a guy with a Viking helmet on, which would be normal for a ship. And then the rest is all skeletons. And then at the bottom it says, Les Regatas a Satanville.
Yeah. Which is that?
I don't
Peaches
know.
Les Regalis?
No, that's Peaches and Regalis. And then it says Infer. So I should Google that and find out what it means.
Yeah, it's Latin for, well.
Welcome to Satan Town.
It's got a, what's Peaches and Regalia mean? Because it might be like a related word.
Regatas.
I know, but it might be kind of related. Maybe not, because it's regal and not regat.
Peaches and Regalia. Regalia is just like an outfit, you know, like Regalia. It's not a Latin word, I don't think.
Did you ever see that story on him in life? I mean, the background was way too purple.
What? Peaches and Regalia?
No, that maybe it was Time magazine he was in with his family. Those I love those that spread of him and his family and Frank Time Zappa? Magazine. But the background was way too purple.
Is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking about that video that you posted of Frank Zappa on What's My Line.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that one lady was like, you know, because after Soupy Sales guessed that it was Frank Zappa, then they all kind of like said something to him about like recognizing what he does.
Oh, and they said that they saw him in Life magazine?
Yeah, and the one lady goes, I really enjoyed that that piece in Time magazine with you and your wife and the kids. And Frank Zappa was like, yeah, the background was way too purple. And and as he's sitting there, he's like wearing this awful
purple
paisley shirt with like suspenders that are purplish. And the chick's like, I really love that. And he's like, it was way too purple. And
that's
then
weird.
The host is like, but you know, match is what your outfit you got going on. And he's like, yeah, it was way too purple. He just kept saying that. Like, it, you know, he was just it really bothered him about that.
That's funny.
That a particular thing. And
see, I did watch that, but I just watched it real quick and I didn't really pay a lot of attention to it.
And then after they talked chop about 200 motels, they talked shop about it. Like, the editing with the host.
Yeah, I remember. I did watch that and kind of paid attention to it, but the rest of it I was just kind of. But yeah, so I didn't know what you were talking about when you were saying the purple thing. I was like, am I not getting something here? Of course I'm not.
But that's funny. I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah.
You know, at last week we had Al on, right?
Yes, we did.
Dude, that episode, 141 downloads.
Already?
Yeah.
All right.
And the one after that on the Friday, we've almost hit 50, which is pretty good for us on like
a couple
days of, want to give a shout out to all our listeners. Enjoying a spike of listening.
And we're trying to, like, do new things and this and that, and maybe bring back some old things. I got one thing I want to bring back. We used to do a lot in season one, but the stories just weren't available. Remember that we used to always do Crazy Floridians?
Yeah.
We did it so much, I almost made a theme song, but I never did. But I only got one story today, but this is a good one. It just happened over the weekend. Police in Florida said they arrested a man accused of calling 911 about 80 times because he wanted some Kool-Aid, some burgers, and some weed, bitches. He wanted that shit brought to his home. St. Petersburg police, and it doesn't say his ethnicity, but his name is Jarvis. Jarvis Sutton, 34, allegedly called emergency number about 80 times Sunday, and the arrest report said that he told officers he wanted Kool-Aid, burgers, and weed to be delivered to his house in Tampa.
Must have been warm, huh? Oh, and muggy. That's what, you know, the Kool-Aid helps with the mug.
Well, I was just thinking red drink. Maybe he was a... I don't know what color he wanted, but I don't know. People named Jarvis like to drink Kool-Aid. and he was arrested on a charge of misusing the 911 system. Allegedly, he chewed foam attached to the metal caging in the back of the police cruiser while he was back there. And then he was jailed for a mere $150 bail. He could bail himself out. So.
Wow.
Give me my Kool-Aid burgers and weed, bitches. What do you call 911 for Kool-Aid burgers and weed, bitches?
No.
That does
make me want some Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I'll bring some. We just went shopping the other day.
You bought some Kool-Aid?
Oh, we buy it every month so the kids don't drink our soda.
Oh, right on.
So we buy about 10 pounds of sugar and about 20 packs. And we just slowly poison our children.
That is kind of like when I started making Kool-Aid for myself, you know, and... The ingredients that you need are about 10 packs of Kool-Aid and a 5-pound bag of sugar.
Yeah, to last you for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of puts it in perspective of...
And they got all kinds of crazy...
What are you doing with that?
Yeah, they got all kinds of crazy flavors now, too. And speaking of flavors, I get so pissed at Walmart because they sell, like, every kind of fucking flavor of Pop-Tarts. Switching subject, but Pop-Tarts, Kool-Aid, same shit. I prefer the raspberry frosted... Which
oh, really?
You don't find them that much.
Uh-huh.
They're less, I don't know. I like the flavor of the cherry, and I know that shit's bad for you. I shouldn't even eat it. And I don't eat them a lot, but I just like to have them around the house. And serving size, still one pastry. Which is fucking stupid because the other one's going to go stale, and then you just eat the whole box. But so they've got the value size of like 12 packages, or you can get the little 4-pack.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the big sizes in raspberry only, the kind that I like.
They'll do a variety pack because it's a berry.
They don't even do a variety pack. They have the big ones of strawberry, the big ones of every flavor. Every flavor had the variety.
I don't like
they're
the
not
standard
variety pack
berry ones.
Yeah.
You know, the frosting is a little bit artificial tasting.
It's crunchy,
to me.
And it's, like, gritty.
Yeah, and I don't mind that so much, but the dry pieces on the end of the crust are kind of plain.
I almost do like that with a... like you do with a sandwich when you're a kid and take the crust off and eat the center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also I usually don't warm them up.
No, me neither. I just eat them raw.
But I like the s'mores ones, man, but I can't have those in the house because they're just too good.
Yeah, we made some s'mores last night again around the campfire. And raw Pop-Tarts, that's not good for you, I guess, but I don't care. You're supposed to cook that berry filling.
It's not good for you.
I'm just kidding. The whole thing's not good for you. It's like eating raw hot dogs or...
No.
Actually,
there was a time when, I mean, I was running the vending store. I would have in my house probably 200-300 Pop-Tarts at a time.
Whoa.
Just because you buy them on sale, you buy them bulk, you know?
You're lucky I didn't know because I would have been lifting them from you.
I was in the middle of the night, and I didn't even know.
I wonder if Paula Poundstone still eats Pop-Tarts.
You know she does.
Paula Poundstone Pop-Tarts!
Dude, if she didn't finish with that bit, she would be booed off stage.
Does she still do it?
I don't know. I'm just saying. It's Freebird.
Because if she doesn't do that about the one serving, I'm going to revive it, because that's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You need a resealable package if you're going to only... If you're going to have two in a pack and the serving size is one... That's just enticing you to eat twice as much as you should.
Why don't they just put the 12 in one package like it's crackers?
Just a stack of Pop-Tarts?
Yeah. Well, what the fuck's the point?
And what else do you get sick from eating raw? Like pork, probably, and chicken. And what about raw sewage?
You don't want your uncooked Pop-Tarts to touch your cooked pork chops.
I always cook my sewage because raw sewage will make you sick.
Now, this is what I'm proposing to somebody. Adrian Bacon, probably.
You're getting married?
Adrian Bacon, I want you to take a pork chop. And then I want you to take your favorite flavor of berry Pop-Tart.
And then shove it up your butt.
And then shove it up your butt!
Just kidding, buddy. Sorry.
Dude, but yeah. But and then, like, crumple up the... Because it's got that jelly on inside, right? That'd be nice. You encrust the pork chop in the Pop-Tart... And then you cook it.
Pork tarts.
Pork tarts.
New recipe from the Tag Gas Podcast, raspberry pork tarts. Yeah. That's hard to say, kind of, if you're not thinking about it. Pork tarts.
Did you watch the new show, Marin?
I DVR'd it, but I did not watch it. You know what's weird?
That show?
Episode 1. Said it was episode 2 on my DVR.
Yeah, me too.
And then I was like, shit, did I miss
a pilot?
Episode 1 is playing next week.
Oh, okay.
Is what it said. I think it's a miss. There must be a misprint.
Well, they probably just decided to show this one first.
It wasn't the one with Dennis Leary, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
And there was someone else on there that was...
I think they planned it. I think one was episode 1 and one was episode 2. And they said, well, this one probably goes better as a first episode.
Right. It better have recorded. I forgot to check over the weekend.
I haven't watched it.
You haven't?
I have.
Oh, okay. What'd you think? Are you a fan of Marc Maron first?
Am I a fan of Marc Maron?
Do you like his stand-up?
Well, you know that, you know, he's popular. So there's a little bit of anti.
I understand.
Answer your question, though.
Okay. Are you a fan?
I'm not so much a fan of his stand-up because I haven't seen a lot of his stand-up, but most of it's a lot of storytelling and, you know, I mean, just kind of like down on himself, you know. I mean, he's definitely got a style.
I was going to say is
that as far as like his podcasting, I respect him and I like his style on the podcast and I enjoy that.
If we backed up before the podcast started. And I asked you, are you a fan of Mark?
I would have never known him.
You didn't know who he was then?
No.
Okay, I'd seen his Comedy Central thing.
I mean, I might have, like, seen him.
But he didn't
Well, I obviously saw him in Almost Famous.
Yeah, but you didn't know who he was.
I didn't know who he was then.
Lock the gates!
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that was him either. But, yeah, I've seen a few of his specials and listened to some of his stuff, but I wouldn't say I'm a big fan.
but I'm interested in seeing the show because I think that it does have, doesn't it show an element of him podcasting in it? You're podcasting out of your fucking garage.
Does it
basically focus on other aspects
he's
of his life?
The podcast to bring it around.
But it doesn't actually
You remember watching Midnight Caller?
Yeah.
You know how there'd be the story, but it'd always come back to, like,
right,
the guy, and he'd, you know, and then he shoots a little bit on the life and kind of finishes it up. And there was a morality to it, to the show.
Uh-huh.
You know, a morality element and a little bit about, you know, it's Dennis Leary, and it's been no secret. I'm sure you've read previews of the show, right? So it's the episode in which his manliness is questioned.
And because of his cats and some other things.
There's just various things, and
right.
So it'll show him talking behind the mic about, like, his finishing up, you know, and wrapping the whole thing together.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty well done, but this is what was my review on it, was, and especially for a first show, a premiere episode, it was dark. It dealt heavily with death.
Mm-hmm.
At times, morbidly funny.
A lot of emotions.
And
they deal with emotions.
It was just Marin.
Cool.
That's what I would expect from him, and I'll watch it again.
Awesome. That sounds... I'm kind of glad that you liked it, because I'm expecting to like it. I've been looking forward to it, but obviously not enough. Well, I had a busy weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We had company over. We went camping one night, and...
It wasn't like I was laughing through the whole episode or anything.
Well, it's
like
one of those
that,
ones
that'll
make
you
think and smirk and go, huh?
Yeah. And you I don't want to compare it to any other shows, really.
Right on. Well, I'll watch it and give my review next week.
Sweet.
Yeah. And before I forget, I know that you wouldn't want us to forget this. Our sole celebrity birthday for the day is the artist who sings the longest choruses in rock history.
How'd
you know?
I know.
He's running against the wind right now.
He is.
Trying to fight those knight moves.
He's like a rock, though.
He is. You know, he's a Hollywood knight, even though he's from Detroit.
He'll go down to Kathmandu.
Dude, Nutbush City Limits. I mean, he's...
Sometimes there's a Boz Skaggs song that sometimes I'll mistake for Bob Seger.
That's hard to say. What if his name was Boz Seger?
Boz Seger?
That's kind of hard to say.
Boz Seger.
What do you think, Lido? Is that the song that you think is Bob Seger?
I don't know. What's
the Lido Shuffle? That's the only song I know by Boz Skaggs.
It's a popular one on the
Lido.
Radio. I know what's going on.
Lido.
That one I always think is Billy Joel.
You think that's Billy Joel?
Yeah.
That sings Lido?
Yeah.
Dude, there was a funny thing on the Kroll show. Did you see
I did it? Not know he said Lido, too. I thought the song was named Ooh, Ooh, Ooh.
It's called Lido, which is spelled
Lido.
L-I-D-O.
It's one of those ones, like, I never, like...
Susudio.
Or, Levon. It's like, what is he... What? Levon, a jet plane? What's he talking about?
Oh, you're from England, so you have a friend named Levon.
Yeah.
Levon.
Yeah.
Levon or maybe he's likes his money. And they're like, wait, that makes no sense. Leave me your money? Levon?
Yeah.
Levon like what? Who? Elton John. Jesus Christ, what's your problem?
Yeah.
But yeah, Bob Seger, how old do you think he is today?
Detroit. I'm going to go 69.
Dude, that was really close. He's 68 today. Happy
70's
birthday.
Not what it used to be.
Nope, it's not the new 60 anymore.
No, I think it's more like the new 50.
Yeah. I was going to say it's the new 80.
Well, no, I mean, you know, back in the day, and maybe just because I was younger, I mean, 70 was, like...
Seemed so old.
People were senile at that time, right?
Yeah.
A good portion of, like, the 70-year-olds I knew 30 years ago were, like, bordering senile. And now you see 70-year-olds are, you know, pretty well put together still mentally, and, you know, it's more like 85.
You expect
the people to be senile.
I don't think Bob Seger's probably senile. He could probably remember the whole chorus to Against the Wind.
Oh, look at William Shatner's like almost 80, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's still like put together.
Gene
Simmons, he's like 80.
No, he looks 80. But Bob Seger, I think he planned ahead well in his writing styles, because if you just say Against the Wind 900 times, that's going to be hard to forget when you're senile. He's just like, You're working on the night moves.
Or
just like the old time rock and roll. I just got to remember the whole line. The kind of music soothes your soul. And if I forget, I can just watch Risky Business and everything will be okay.
Have you ever thought about doing like a... Here's a musical comedic piece you could do is the Bob Seger medley.
Okay.
So like a 40-minute song of all his choruses.
It's a game show?
No, I'm talking like a comedy routine.
Oh, a comedy routine. Okay.
It's like go up on stage and just do a medley like of all of his choruses put together.
Just the choruses?
Well, just a few lines from each chorus, you know, to pound in that this is all there is to this song.
Yeah.
You know,
I think I'm going to Kathmandu.
Against the wind.
I'm really going to okay, we know, dude. You're going to Kathmandu. You're riding against the wind. You're running against the wind. You're going against the wind. We'll be running against the wind.
You're letting the cowboy ride.
Against the wind. Against the wind.
Still running.
Against the wind. And those Hollywood nights.
You know what other song is up there that talks about running?
Like a rock.
What's that damn fucking song about the show, The Roadies Take the Stage by, not Bob Seger, it's James Taylor?
Oh, Jackson Browne.
Jackson Browne. I always get those guys confused, even though they're nothing similar.
And then it goes into Stay a Little Bit Longer by like Frankie.
Stay a little bit longer.
Oh, won't you stay?
Dude, that song is so...
It's long.
It's long. It's long. And you don't need to hear the whole thing.
It's like Bye Bye Miss American Pie. 9 minutes, really?
Yeah.
And he was singing. I know what he was singing, dude. You said it fucking five times. You're singing Bye Bye American Pie, the Levy fucking Chevy, whatever.
Eugene Levy.
You're dry. I know.
That's what I always think whenever I hear that song is Eugene Levy.
Chevy chasing Eugene Levy because the Chevy was gone. Oh, yeah. So the Chevy could be Chevy Chase because Eugene Levy and Chevy.
Yeah, yeah. And you got Chevy Chase who's a Community these days.
Just think if they got, like, Chevy Chase's dad when they were kids married, like, Eugene Levy's mom and then adopted him, or vice versa, his name would be Chevy Levy.
Yeah.
Chevy and Levy!
And then if she married someone else later, a Ford, he would be Chevy Levy Ford.
I thought you were going to say something about Chase.
Oh, no. No. He owns the bank, you know that?
Chase Bank, yeah.
Yeah.
And he owns Chevy, too. He owns Chevrolet and Chase.
Yeah. Wow, that's an empire.
That's his name, Chevy Chase.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. That was our fourth lull.
I got a segment from Hans, Tumblr from Hans.
Oh, good. Perfect timing. What do we got?
All right.
What do you got?
Oh, well, we asked him if he had ever ironed.
Oh, that's right. I said he probably had in his younger age.
Yeah, that was just what he said. He has, but not in quite a while.
Did he do iron-on patches?
I'm not sure. He didn't go into details of ironing or what. I don't know. Hans, did you sew or iron on your patches? What did our listeners do? Do you sew or iron them on?
I sew my patches on, actually, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Don't you want to, iron them on first, though, right? Because then you get them to stay flat and then you stitch them in.
Doesn't really seem to do much to iron them on. They always come off, like, it seems to me.
Well, I know, but then you stitch it around,
yeah,
so it's like.
Double reinforced?
Yeah.
That's probably how it would be.
It just keeps it flat.
That's right.
So they don't bubble up. I don't know.
Is that all
I know?
Is that the only thing he said?
No. He said, he said maybe he's been asked to turn down Iron Maiden if it was Paul Di'Anno. Or is it Paul Iano?
Paul Di'Anno.
Okay, I didn't know if the D was silent.
Ah! Good one.
And you can't stand Bruce Dickinson, Hans?
Can you sit him?
What about the other Bruce Dickinson? Who's greater, the Bruce Dickinson from Maiden or the Bruce Dickinson who needed more cowbell?
The rock producer who produced Blue Oyster Cult and Cheap Trick.
Yeah.
Do you know about him, Hans? Because if you don't, you should look into the cooler Bruce Dickinson who knows that there's a prescription for fucking something.
Yeah.
And the fucking prescription... Wait, I got a fever.
Yeah, he's got a fever and a cure.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
Or more Bajas.
Yeah. Bajas.
Hans is a fan of Bajas.
Droning bass Bajas.
Now, Hans asked us a question, and I've thought about this, and I've came up with my answer, but it might be difficult for you because it is kind of a tough question.
I like tough questions.
What three toppings would you like to see on a pizza that hasn't been done before to your knowledge?
Well.
Rock on, you fortunate shellless snails.
All right. There's a lot of stuff that has been already done.
It's hard to think about outside of what you've had and the things that you enjoy on pizza already.
Maybe you could have. I've been introduced to the ranch base and the Alfredo base and the barbecue base and the red sauce, regular pizza sauce base. What about a chocolate base pizza?
Oh, I've had that.
With what? All right. Fuck that. Then how about something else? Well, you had a little while to think about it. What did you come up with?
No, I think Domino's had like a chocolate with the sprinkles on it or something. Kind of maybe it was a bread stick. Maybe it wasn't like a chocolate pizza.
What about licorice pieces that look like Domino's?
Dude, I thought about licorice would be good.
How about red licorice? I don't really like black licorice.
Would you use the licorice as a crust?
How about a Jaeger-based pizza with licorice crumbles?
Yeah.
You could make it into a paste.
A lot of crazy things on it that would make you like wanna, that you don't want to mix with.
And then just like drizzled with NyQuil, which tastes a lot.
Wow.
Like.
Some codeine drizzles on there.
And then like weed brownie crumbles on top of that, covered with sour cream cheese.
So you're thinking like a brownie pizza.
It sounds like a dessert now that I've totally.
Well, they make dessert pizzas like they do. But they're mostly like a fruity.
But I think he's talking more of like a foodie, not fruity. Not a fruity candy pizza.
I don't know. I think that sounds good. Have you ever had an olive oil based pizza?
No.
It's pretty heavy on the olive oil. You know, olive oil's a heavy food.
Lard based.
No, lard-based sauce.
Lard-based pizza with, like, venison. How about that?
Oh, nice.
Deer meat and turkey.
This is kind of what I rolled through.
Turkey denison.
Yeah, turkey venison. I like venison.
I like turkey. I've never had turkey on a pizza. Have you?
No.
All right, Hans, there's mine. Turkey, deer meat, and cat meat. Chinese pizza.
Yeah.
Based with a soy sauce base.
No, it'd be good is a marfar or a sesame chicken on a pizza.
Yeah.
That would be good. But I thought about it and I went with the crusties on the corn dogs.
Oh.
I think that would be a great accompaniment, maybe with a light fry sauce kind of base. Maybe
fair pizza.
Yeah. Because I'd like maybe
ears.
Some French fry crust. Maybe you could just use like those,
or like the elephant ear crust.
Oh, that'd be beautiful. Yeah,
so,
you're right.
Wow, it's a fair pizza. I think we got it, Hans.
That is fair.
It's a fry sauce base with corn dog slices. And
well, I don't know about the slices.
That's right. Cause
or
little,
maybe the breading. You can use the corn breading and just like,
my little godson loves to crunch the little things off because he saw Dana do it once, but he obviously is not just doing it because she does it because he likes those.
Oh, man, they are good.
He'll eat those first. He'll pull the dog up a little bit.
Ah, nice. I might have used to do that too.
Yep. So, and I've never been a fan.
Really?
Tried them.
You don't
but
like the Krusties?
It's not that I
don't
like
them. I would
like
eat a whole bag of Krusties.
Yeah. Maybe we could go somewhere where people eat a lot of corn dogs and just please put your sticks in this bag. And
is that like the
we could make Krusties and make money off of nothing.
What's that lady that wanted to eat leftover pizzas?
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty funny. I can't remember what was on, but it was good.
What's in
CD? It's Monday, so you know something I ain't never fucking heard of.
That's usually what's going on Mondays.
Trying to be obscure because he thinks he's a player. Oh, sorry, Hans. I'm just kidding, buddy. I know you're obscure. You're actually obscure. You're not like a hipster. You don't like things just to make people say, why does he like that? He's listening to Julie Cruz. That's spelled J-U-L-E-E, Cruz. The album is called Floating Into the Night. Dude, you have a really bewildered look on your face right now.
Well, I'm not sure. When you said the way it's spelled, I thought you were going to spell Cruz, because I didn't know if it was C-R-U-Z or...
No, it's spelled like Tom.
Cruz.
It's spelled like heavy metal Cruz.
So I'm not sure if this is one of those picks that's some old school, like, 60s pop chick, or if this is some kind of stoner metal.
I think it's some weird kind of obscure pop chick. Not pop, but not...
Bubblegum?
Not metal. No, probably like folky or jazz or something. Maybe a jazz guitarist. I don't know, but damn you, Hans. Every Monday you do that to me. And here I am. I was listening to the CD version of the one of the first 8-track tapes I ever bought as a child. Briefcase Full of Blues by the Blues Brothers.
Nice.
Now, that is a great musical album. It's kind of comedic because John Belushi is a singer, even though they're singing serious blues songs. But love that album. And then I got a message from Phil saying that he had that as a child and that he remembered the first time that he came to Domesticide practice, he was listening to that, and as he pulled up, he shut off his car, and then I just heard a snippet, and then I said, hey, Blues Brothers, cool. And he's like, how would you know that? I was like, because that's the first 8-track I ever bought, along with the Doobie Brothers. Me and my brother bought 2 8-tracks of Brothers, the Doobie Brothers and the Blues Brothers.
Oh, nice.
We put our money together.
The Bluebies.
We didn't even mean to do it.
Would it be the dudes, the Bluebies?
We got
I like
home.
That.
We got home when our parents said, "Hey, look, you both brought brothers and your brothers."
Yeah,
weird.
Check out those Bluebies.
And there were no black people involved except for the bass player from the Doobie Brothers.
So, Julie Cruz.
Tom's mom,
distinctive airy voice, recorded 4 albums, but is probably best known for the song "Falling," the theme song from Twin Peaks.
Oh well, no wonder. He listens to the
Falling, I am falling. That's how it went.
He listens to the soundtrack of Twin Peaks quite often.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he likes that stuff, so he probably sought it out and bought the album because he's weird.
Yeah, she actually collaborated with Angelo Badalamenti. You remember Angelo Badalamenti?
I remember liking to hear you say it.
And David Lynch, who produced and wrote the lyrics for most of her released songs.
Wow.
And she is married to Edward Grenon, editor-in-chief of Guideposts.
Well, Hans, you just enlightened us. Well, Google did, but you prompted it. So thanks, buddy. Every Monday, Hans is listening to something I've never even heard of. So he makes me feel, or maybe to our listeners, it seems like I'm closed-minded or, I don't know. Like I don't get out enough or something. I've never heard of these bands, Hans, and then I got you.
But now you know who Badalamenti is.
Oh, yeah, and I know who, what's her name? Julie Cruz.
Yeah. J-U-L-E.
Is it kind of folky pop jazz?
You don't know the Twin Peaks?
I don't remember it right now in my mind after you sang. See, when you sing songs, it doesn't really...
It was kind of like that, right? And then
I remember. No.
Creepy piano music, because that's what Andrew Badalamenti.
A bottle of mente.
Yeah. All right, I'm just gonna look it up really fast.
All right, well, while you're doing that, I'm gonna tell everybody that we're gonna get out of here and hope you guys have a nice Monday. Visit our websites. I think you know them, but I'm gonna remind you. TagCastPodcast.com. SickDaddy.com, full-time radio, DudesChillin.com, full-time comedy station, FlyJelly.com, shit, all kinds of stuff. Go check that out. Give us some support. Go to iTunes and write us a review if you like. And now listen to Julie Cruz falling lo-fi from a phone into a microphone. It's kind of cool. Hans, is this on the album that you're listening to? Hans, is this your favorite song?
It's on the Twin Peaks.
Well, I know, but I wonder if the record that he's listening to by Julie Cruz contains the same song. I should have let you plug that into the board, but too late now.
I just want to get to the
singing. Oh, you want to get to the singing? Well, dude, you already sang it for me. This is the instrumental version. Dude, there's a bird flying in a fucking lake.
That was her voice. She had a distinct airy voice. Didn't you hear it? She was singing that whole thing.
You fucking liar.
Do-do-do-do-do.
So, yeah, thanks for listening. Tune back in on Wednesday, and we'll talk more. And you can listen. We're going to eat some pizza and go fix some tractors and go smoke some more marijuana. Get out and enjoy the sunshine. It's only going to be here for like 4 more weeks.
If that.
It won't be here that long.
I know.
Expect the rain to come by the end of the next week.
Last year was August 7th, by the way. We were still getting rain.
We got a nice little spell of weather here.
I know.
How do you spell weather?
W-H-E-T-H-E-R.
That is incorrect, sir. Next what? Question. Grand Rapids, Michigan, you're on the
I
phone.
I don't care whether or not I'm right.
John McLaughlin. Wrong answer. Remember that, Dana Carvey?
Yeah.
All right. See you guys later.
Back up.
Wrong! Hello, all you taggots. Welcome to the plug section of the show. It's where I tell you what to do, and then you do it if you want. Plenty of stuff going on as far as comedy and heavy metal and rock shows coming up in the Northwest area. May 9th, you got Jay and Silent Bob at the Classic Historical Baghdad Theater in Portland. Then the next night, May 10th, comedy at the Baghdad with your host Tristan Spillman, featuring comedy from Jason Goad, Brendan Kelly, Aaron McSmith, Xander DeVoe, Sean Jordan, and Paul Barak. Starts at 10 o'clock. It's 21 and over, and it's $5 at the door. May 11th, 30-pound test at Cloud and Kelly's in Corvallis. That's 126 First. Downtown Corvallis, I believe it's $5. Also 21 and over. May 16th, Usnia, Ninth Moon Black, and Dirt Clod Fight in Eugene at Lucky's. That's a Saturday night. It's going to be a great show. May 17th, also at the Baghdad Theater, David Alan Greer from Living Color fame. Funny fellow. Go check him out. May 18th, Tormentium, Panzer God, Dead Conspiracy, and Infernus. Plenty of good black metal and heavy metal there at Rauchur in Portland. Also that night, if you'd rather, you go to the Wonder Ballroom for Cannibal Corpse, Napalm Death, Immolation, Cretan, Beyond Creation, and Magruder Grind. I just like saying Magruder Grind. Wonder Ballroom, check online for tickets. I will probably be at that show if I have my way. May 24th at the Baghdad Theater, it's the Whiskey Tango Improv Group up there with Tristan Spillman on a Friday night. May 28th, Bolt Thrower Benediction and Hellshock at the Star Theater in Portland. And then if that's not your cup of tea, you could maybe go have some cake at the Doug Fir Lounge. That will also be the 28th. May 31st, another show with Usnia, this time featuring Norska, Bastard Feast, and Bellwitch at the Ash Street Saloon. That's on 2nd in Portland, Oregon. Also May 31st, Fear Factory, Hate Eternal, Cobra, and The Lotus at Hawthorne Theater. Lots of good shows coming up. Same nights, you know, you got to choose what you're going to do. June 1st, Lamb of God with Decapitated in Terror at the Roseland Theater. June 4th, Intronaut, Scale the Summit, and Earth to Ashes at the Hawthorne Theater. Alvin Palooza 2 is coming to the Riverside Community Center here in Albany on June 8th. That's for a great cause. It's a scholarship that goes to youngsters to help them with their schooling. And it's in the name of a young lady that passed away from the area. That'll be Strange Dichotomy, The Milestoners, Apophis Theory, Bikini, American Roulette, and Ed to Shred. I think it's like $10. You can check on Facebook for that. June 8th, World of Lies, Necryptic, and Damage Overdose at Katie O'Brien's in Portland. June 13th, Tracy Morgan at the Newmark Theater in Portland. Pauly Shore is going to be at the Wow Hall on June 20th. June 21st, Leonard Skinner at Sleep Country Amphitheater with Bad Company. And then the one I was going to tell you about that I almost forgot
May 17th up in Portland. It's a Slayer tribute band called Live Undead. They will probably be dedicating the show entirely to fallen hero Jeff Hanneman. It's going to be a Saturday night, and I am forgetting the Analog Cafe is what it's called. It's 720 Southeast Hawthorne. Spawn will be playing as well, and The Suppression. So go check that out. Tons of good stuff for you guys to go do. You know, go to TagCastPodcast.com.